Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and we are going to now cover the chapter on quality management in global procurement. So the learning objective here is to understand the role and importance of quality management standards in global procurement, gain an understanding as to how the supplier should meet the buyer expectations with respect to quality, understand the ISO standards, understand the benefits of ISO implementation, understand the importance of quality management in contract manufacturing, importance of quality standards, meeting quality expectations of buyer, what are the key steps in doing so, ISO standards, framework for quality management, benefits of implementation of ISO standards, quality management in contract manufacturing, global procurement best practices. So this is the structure we were talking about. So let's start with what is the importance of quality standards in global procurement. First and foremost is the performance of the product and the services. So the product or the services that you have contracted, the performance has to be as laid down or as required, you know, out of the product or the service. The product's primary operating characteristics are relevant for the buyer firm. So the role or the function that it has to perform, that has to be fulfilled. Features of the product. So it includes attributes that supplement the product's primary operating characteristics. Features are over and above the performance. They are the additional benefits that you derive from a product. So, for example, you know, you may have a lot of mobile phones, right? But there are some mobile phones which have additional features. So, additional facilities which give you certain benefit. Reliability. The probability of a product failing within a specified time period needs to be the lowest. So, longer is the time to failure means more reliable is the product. Shorter the time, less is the reliability. Conformance, the extent to which a product's design and operating characteristics meet a predetermined standard as defined by the buyer's organization. So imagine that you are a mobile manufacturer and you are actually ordering batteries and you have specified a certain capacity for the battery. So are the batteries conforming to those requirements? And then, you know, when we talk of the conformance, it could be in terms of, the storage capacity, the temperature at which they can operate, and the number of cycles that it can withstand, you know. Durability. The amount of use of a product offers a consumer before the product deteriorates. The buyer expects a long-term durability of the product and its performance with an objective to reduce the total cost of ownership. So again, we give the battery example. You know, it could be the battery of a mobile phone or a battery of a car. They all have a life. And the durability is, you know, how long you can continue to use it before it becomes unusable. And longer is the durability, more desirable is the product, and lesser is the cost of ownership. Because if you are, let's say, buying a car battery for, say, 14,000 rupees, and if it is going to last you for 3 years, compare the cost if a different battery, you know, similar kind of a battery is going to last you for a period of, say, 5 years. So your cost of ownership, decreases when the durability of the product increases. Serviceability. Buyer organization prefers products covered by a long-term warranty. How fast, how easily, and with what degree of courtesy and competence repairs can be performed. Classic example is there are certain products, you buy, they are use and throw. That means these products are not serviceable. Once, the product gets bad, there is no way they can be repaired and you have to just throw them away. So serviceability is how easily these can be serviced, repaired, and brought back to service or full performance. Aesthetics. Aesthetics is the visual appeal, of the product. So it is also very important to ensure that the product is aesthetically appealing. Aesthetics determine how the product appeals to the five senses. So, you know, when we are talking aesthetics here, when we say five senses, it's not only the looks, but also the colors, the shape, the smell, you know. If it's a food item, you know, it's the flavors, the taste. So, aesthetics could mean a lot of things. Perceived quality, the number of features of the product determine the quality of the product, reputation, image, or other inferences regarding the attributes of a product. So, here, the perceived quality, I remember the first time when I bought a mobile phone, the recommendation was for Nokia, because they said that Nokia, the battery life is very good, the reception is very good, meaning even in fringe areas, you get the signal and very good voice quality. And most important, they said, even if you drop the phone, you can rest assured that the phone will be working. Now, this is the perceived quality. Because if you look at all the phones, more or less perform a similar kind of a task. But when the qualities or, you know, there is an additional value which is perceived, that is what differentiates the product. So, this is the perceived quality. Now, this can be positive, as in case of Nokia, or today as we look at it in terms of iPhone or so, or it can be negative as well. So, meeting quality expectations of the buyer, what are the key steps? Optimization of the supplier base to a manageable level. So, assume that you have an organization and you have a very large number of suppliers. It becomes very difficult to manage all the suppliers, keep in contact with these suppliers, measure their performance, etc. Even if you have to develop the suppliers, you know, the effort which goes into interacting with large number of suppliers is enormous. So, the trend, as we have seen in the preceding chapters, is also to have less number of suppliers, focus suppliers, suppliers who are reliable, suppliers who can grow, who can be developed, and you work with them. So, pursuing value-added activities with less than 250 suppliers is much possible in comparison to managing the quality issues with more than 5,000 suppliers. Now, this is just an example given. But this example is equally true if you had 50 and let's say 250 suppliers, because working with 50 suppliers is obviously easier and more manageable. Continuous measurement of supplier quality performance. So, continuous, dynamic, and in some cases, even mutual measurement of suppliers' quality performance is vital. And how will you know which is a good supplier and which is not? Unless you have a measurement of quality parameters which really matter to you. So, if you are really working, you know, with a very lean system, delivery may be of importance. Quality may be important, of importance. If it's a component that tends to fail or, which is crucial to the performance of your finished product. Establish aggressive supplier improvement targets and periodically monitor the same. So, this activity is related to the competition between the buying firm and its supplier. And here, you need to set up targets so that the supplier tries and meets those targets, and you can also set up a competition with other suppliers. Reward superior supplier performance and improvement. Reward is always a tempting offer to motivate suppliers to improve their quality levels on a continuous basis. So, when you are setting up the competition and you are also monitoring the improvement of the suppliers. Now, if the supplier is taking the initiative and he is showing improvements, they need to be rewarded. Rewards, as we have seen, it can be in a number of forms. You know, it can be in the form of recognition, it can be in the form of certain incentives in terms of price, etc., in terms of allowing them to participate in other businesses. That means, you know, you are currently sourcing one product from him, you can actually motivate them to participate in other products also that you are sourcing. You can also give them a bigger share of your business. So, rewards can be in various forms. Certify supplier processes and methods. So certification ensures that the supplier has adopted minimum standard required for quality product manufacturing and service delivery. So what we look at when we certify a supplier process and method, we look at whether they have a quality standard in place for the raw material, whether they have proper SOPs in place, whether they have got proper operating instructions in place, you know, on the machines or on the processes, etc. Are they training the people? Are the people who are carrying out the manufacturing activity, do they understand the specifications or not? It's like, you know, if you are asking for a machinist to machine a component to a certain precision, then he should be able to, you know, use a micrometer or a caliper and very accurately measure the dimensions. If he is not capable of doing this, how will he ensure that the product will be meeting the right quality standards? Commit the necessary resources and time for supplier development. Commitment of necessary resources and time for supplier development should only be performed after rationalization process for the supplier base. So if you are having, as in the previous example, 250 suppliers, it's very difficult to commit resources because you are actually not running a training institute. And many of the people who will be training your supplier will be from the user functions. So it's necessary that you first rationalize your supplier base, you reduce it to only the promising suppliers who have potential to improve, and then you commit the necessary resources in terms of manpower, in terms of time, in terms of even external faculties who can come and train them on good manufacturing practices or use of systems. Involve suppliers early in the product and process development. This initiative is to maximize the benefit received from a supplier's engineering, design, testing, manufacturing, and tooling resources. So it so happens that sometimes the people who are designing a component, etc., may do it in a very theoretical fashion. But when it comes to execution, that means when the component has to be manufactured, the supplier will be in a better position with their experience, able to tell you that what is feasible, what is not feasible, or what will actually improve the productivity or the product quality. So it's necessary that you involve the suppliers at a very early stage in your design so that they can make valuable suggestions or improvements in your design, which, you know, if you were to do it later, you would lose a lot of time, and maybe it would also entail certain losses before you can correct the issues. So we come to ISO standard, and what are the key principles, you know, of the ISO standard? So first is customer focus. Number of organizations look towards customer delight through focus on customers and strive to meet and exceed customer expectations and requirements. So this is one of the key principles of ISO, which says that you should have a very keen customer focus. Now, what does it mean? That means you are aligned to the customer needs, and your ultimate objective is to achieve customer delight. And how do you do it? You not only meet the requirement, you surpass the requirement in terms of, you know, it can be the quality, in terms of the delivery, in terms of the packaging, etc. Leadership, the management should establish a unity of purpose and direction in the whole organization and create an environment that encourages people to be involved. Without a competent leadership, a number of organizations fail in achieving the quality of the products, and this is very true. You find that whenever there is a change in leadership of the organization, the focus, the priorities of the organization change. And leadership is very important to focus the entire workforce towards the objective of the organization and to drive the organization towards the strategic goals. Involvement of the people. So all personnel should be involved and use their full abilities for the company's benefit to meet the customer needs. In the good old days, you know, people felt that the brains were there only with the top managers and the other people were there only to contribute to the manual work. That means the workers, etc., were supposed to be not that knowledgeable. They were only there to carry out the jobs. But today, the belief is that every worker, every person in the organization can make useful contribution. And that is how, you know, the initiatives like Kaizen and, you know, quality circles were built. Because we feel that they not only have two hands, but they also have a brain. And every person is observing certain things. When asked for, you know, their suggestions, they can make very valuable suggestions. And this is the principle or the essence behind involvement of the people. So whenever you are talking of continual improvement, etc., all the people, all the team members have to be involved. Reward superior supplier performance and improvement. So whenever there is a superior performance or wherever there is a significant improvement, you need to reward the supplier. So reward is always tempting offer to motivate suppliers to improve their quality levels on a continuous basis or a continual basis. The reward also can be in the form of, you know, self-certification. We have also seen in one of the previous chapter that you can self-certify the supplier so that when his material comes in, you don't inspect it every time or you inspect only 1 out of 10 batches. So whenever he makes a supply, 10 consignments he supplies, only 1 consignment will be inspected. Or sometimes only when you face a problem, you will inspect it. It gives a lot of pride to the supplier. Also, it puts the onus of ensuring that the products are perfect every time, and it works in favor of both of you. System approach to management. The management should have a holistic view of the company to reach its goal effective and efficient. And system approach is that nothing should be by chance. There has to be a system, there has to be a process. Like we say, you know, that if you ensure the man is trained, the material quality is monitored, the methods are clearly defined and followed, calibration of the equipment is taken care of. So if everything is controlled, man, machine, material, method, calibration, that is measurement, then your product is bound to be perfect every time. So it's a system approach. It's not a hit and miss, or, you know, you don't drive the people and say that make the right quality. The right quality will come through the right systems. Continual improvement. The focus in ISO is also on continuous and continual improvement. There is a difference between continuous and continual. Continuous is actually a straight line. Whereas when you say continual, it could be that you achieve some improvement. There can be a plateau. Then you have one more phase of improvement. Then you can have a plateau. But what is important in continual is that you are always improving. So improvement should be permanent objective of the organization. And this will actually lead to a better product on a continuous basis. Also, it will ensure that the costs are reduced. Factual approach to decision making. Base all decisions on facts and analysis of data. You are looking at objective evidence. That means you do not base your decisions on gut feeling. You base your decisions on data. So you need data which you analyze, and what you have is information, and your decisions have to be based on information and not on gut feeling. Mutually beneficial supplier relationship. The company should have a mutually beneficial relationship with its supplier. So what we talk about, collaboration and partnership concept, you know, this will go a long way in building trust between the companies, rather than having a relationship which is more transactional and which is more kind of on and off. So what are the benefits of implementation of ISO standard? It helps the organization to create new opportunities for improvement across many competitive dimensions. So what happens is when you actually implement ISO in any organization, You start by defining the process, writing the procedures, writing the SOPs, writing the work instructions, communicating the work instructions to the people. And when you do this, you many a times come across problem, because how do you define certain things? Or you were, you know, not documenting certain parameters. It was being, let's say, done based on the gut feeling or the judgment of the operator. So when you are defining these things, you will find there are a lot of scopes for improvement. And the learning which emerges from the implementation will benefit everyone, and it will lead to a improved quality all across. Improvement in the company's operations as well as the customer relationship. Because if once you have improved quality, you will find that there is less of rework, less of rejections, which means there is a cost saving. And it also means that you are using your resources for making the product first time right, rather than trying to rectify, you know, bad products or bad material, you know, which needs to be made sellable again. So this is going to result in additional capacities, and you will be able to meet your customer requirement well in time. The quality would be satisfactory, and your customer relations also would improve. ISO certified companies conform to quality standards and are poised to deliver better quality of products and better delivery precision. I have already explained this, because basic principle of ISO is, as I said, you know, it's customer focus, the leadership, the people involvement, and the men, machine, material, method, and measurement focus. So if you're controlling all these things, they are correctly defined, then there is no way that your product can go wrong. You will always have the reputability, and you will have the right product every time. More flexible and adaptable to customer requests and needs, because this will free up a lot of your resources, which were probably, devoted to rectification or reclaiming or salvaging of material which was wrongly produced or had a non-conformance in them. Improvement of productivity with effective implementation of the process. So, you know, because you are clearly defining all the parameters, the measurements and all this, the measurement systems are calibrated. So, you know, you don't go wrong anywhere. And this is bound to actually improve your productivity. Productivity also will improve when you are setting up the process parameters, etc., where you really look at whether the processing time, for example, if you are providing heat treatment, do you really need to give a heat treatment for X number of hours, or can you actually achieve the results in less time, which would mean that the time is less, the energy consumed is less. So improvement of financial performance and specific improvements in the return on assets. So naturally, I mean, this is common sense that your assets are the same, your returns are going to be higher because your rejections are going to be down, customer satisfaction is going to be higher. That will give you the improved return on your assets and your investments. ISO certification process forces the company to examine all its processes in detail, and in this new opportunities to reduce waste or cut cost often turn up. Certified companies go through a process of organizational learning that has a positive effect on waste reduction. So we have already talked about it, you know, because whenever you implement it, you are reviewing, recertifying, revalidating your processes, even engineering process or manufacturing processes, which is going to give you benefits. So key factors, supplier evaluation. So what are the key factors for supplier evaluation? The quality of the product and the services. Efficiency of the process. So how efficient is the process of your supplier? You're going to actually evaluate the supplier based on that. Cost efficiency and service delivery. So again, when you are doing a supplier audit, you are looking at how efficiently they are carrying out the delivery operations, whether it is a product delivery or it's a service delivery. productivity of business operations. So what is the productivity level of your supplier? So across the business process, flexibility and adaptability of the delivery processes to respond to customer requirements. So are they capable of meeting your requirement in case your requirement goes up, or are they constrained? So if tomorrow your operations scale up, will they be able to keep pace or not? Waste reduction. So one benefit which will also come from the evaluation is you can actually suggest ways by which they can reduce the waste. Focus on customer satisfaction, an important priority. Precision of the delivery. You can find out how precisely they have been delivering the material. Do they understand your priorities? Do they understand your process? Innovation in the manufacturing processes and the customer relationship management. Thank you.